Deutschlandfunk. Corso. Kunst und Pop.
A few of the songs I attempted with the band, but it didn't really catch fire. And so I was playing them on my own in the apartment where I wrote everything. It seemed like it was time to start something new. I think London was making me sick in various ways, and it was time to make a change. There's sort of a circularity to this. The first Veils record I wrote in New Zealand when I was 14 and 15, and those songs led me back to England, and this time it did feel like these ones were pointing me back here.
So what were you going to find in New Zealand to record the album? What was that like then?
I mean, I was given a very lovely notebook about 3 years ago, and I knew I should just use this for something important. So this notebook sort of just became the thing that I wrote everything in. And I really did come back here with just a very light suitcase and this notebook. And there's a singer here named Holly Fulbrook, who plays in a band called Tiny Ruins. And she, basically her band became my band here to make the solo record with. But this was all done within a period of weeks of sort of arriving back in New Zealand. So, I turned up here with very little idea of what I was going to do. I just had a book full of songs.
The cover of the album signals a very personal record and in a way of going back thing. The boy on the cover is you, right?
Yeah, I sort of got sent back to live with my dad when I was about 8 or 9, I think. And that was taken then by a girlfriend of his at the time, who was a great photographer, Maya Goldstein. She took this picture.
Why did you choose that image? What kind of statement is that?
For me, it was just this sort of blurring of time and this strange feeling of beginning again and sort of stripping away. There's also, I felt the presence of this sort of kid. It's sort of odd when you just change, I mean, really it's just the name. Like, I didn't think it would mean that much to change the name that you go under. It shouldn't really mean as much as it does, but to have something under your own name, I felt suddenly all of this sort of heavy family sort of all the time that led to here, and this sort of calling back to that time and calling back to when I was writing songs when I was 15 and I'd moved back to New Zealand, and then it all felt like a sort of strange blur. And I don't know, it seemed to make sense to have this innocent kid on the front before any of this sort of mess started.
To be honest, I found the cover a bit creepy at first. I didn't know that it's you. I just saw a boy made up to look sexy and thought, well, you don't do that.
Yeah, I've got a nice dress on, that's true. And there's a little bit of nipple showing. It has a strange quality to it, the picture. I just see it as this sort of innocent, lost kid, which isn't that far away from where I am now.
So you weren't aware that you might be inviting controversy?
No, I don't think it's controversial. I see it as a very innocent image.
Is it a breakup record?
I don't know. I sort of tune out when people talk about breakup records. It's certainly a transitional record, and it's certainly a sort of mutating record. The songs are born out of a certain amount of heartbreak, but then it's about a lot more than that as well. It's not like Adele or something. I mean, it's going to make just as much money, I'm sure. Yeah.
One song is called What Strange Things Lovers Do. What do they do?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that song's just such a sort of like bitter. It's like an old man sitting on a park bench, just sort of bitter at the world. I think it's sort of looking at everything you can't have when you're just in this sort of heartbroken, strange little place. Yeah, trying to make sense of it all.
One special song to me is one by The Venom, which lists 40 mm-hmm. or so ways to die on a cross mm-hmm. from the cigarettes and by the pox. What made you write that?
There was this old nursery rhyme that I remember when I was a kid. There was an old woman that swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. Perhaps she'll die. She swallowed a goat. She opened her throat. She swallowed a goat. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. Yeah, it sort of came from that, I think. And then it just became this sort of slightly obsessive list that I was writing just when I was traveling around London on the tube or whatever. I'd sort of keep adding to this list. It became quite obsessive. There were a lot of verses that I couldn't include I tried to sort of edit it down a little bit. It would have ended up about 20 minutes long otherwise.
So what do you think? What does that tell us that on an album of songs about love, there's one about 44 ways to die?
You know, these things are inextricably linked, obviously, aren't they? It's all... I think that's why I hesitate to call it a breakup record or anything. I think there's a lot of death in it, and there's a lot of questions in it, really. I see it as just a big, messy question, the whole record, and this sort of, it's an odd sort of stock take of one's life. It has certainly more questions than answers, but that tends to be the way this goes, I've found so far.
The lyrics, I think, are very well crafted and beautiful and almost like little poems that could stand alone as well. Do you work long on them?
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's no limit to how long I'll work on those for. It's an odd process because you spent years with the words. You know, we recorded the whole thing in a week, but it was probably about 3 years of working on the words and the music before that.
And the arrangements are centered around the piano very much. Your voice is very upfront compared to the Veils mm-hmm. tracks. What difference does that make to you as a singer and as the person performing them?
I mean, it was enormous for me. Just like the Veils are a very loud band. I play guitar in a very loud way. Everything about it is loud. We made a real effort to strip everything away and have, you know, we didn't wear headphones in the studio. I found something in my voice I didn't know was there, and it certainly comes from singing quietly. Singing without any competition, I suppose, for volume. It's just directly to the listener with nothing in the way.
But it seems you're spreading out in a way. Anyway, is that correct that the Belgian government, I read, commissioned a 20-minute piece by you?
Well, I was commissioned to write a piece for the Antipodean dead of the First World War. That was a few years ago now. It was a real honour to be asked to do that and to write something that was so far beyond my own sort of meagre experiences in the world and thinking about this whole other generation that dealt with so many other unthinkable things. I guess sort of veering more into the kind of orchestral classical world has been interesting. I found the string arrangements on this record were a really integral part as well. It really added a whole other dimension to it.
Another highlight must have been being in Twin Peaks, the new one. How much were you involved there?
That was one of life's true pleasures. We'd been working on that record for a few years and we'd nearly run out of money completely, and I was feeling pretty shitty about the whole thing, really. And then I'd met up with Dean Hurley, who worked with David for many years, produced all, you know, his solo records and was working on the soundtrack for Twin Peaks as well. And we recorded In the Nightfall, which was on the last Veils record. That was all recorded at David's house. And then that kind of led to being invited to perform in the show as well. But we did that performance, you know, we came all the way over to LA from London. We were still recording the record, but like we were in such a bad state. Like everything was going wrong with making that record. None of it was coming together. And it felt like this sort of weird joke, you know, that we were allowed to go do this incredible thing. It was the encouragement I needed at that time, you know, to have David be so encouraging of that record and that song. And I just stood on the stage and, you know, I was staring at him through the whole performance and just trying to put everything into that, because I was really on the bones of my ass, as they say.
What did you learn from working with David Lynch?
I think I learned that no matter who you are, you're still just making stuff with your friends and with people that you respect and whose work you respect. You're always just a kid, you know? I really felt that, like, around everyone in the crew there, like, they were all people he'd worked with for a long time, and they were just making a thing, you know? It didn't have a lot of pressure behind it. It all looked like, you know, they were just playing and making something. And I thought that series was just so amazing in that way as well. It didn't have that sort of focus on pleasing the audience, and he's really just playing and really just indulging this, you know, he's just got such an incredible brain. I was just so pleased to see it and to be a part of it. I guess it taught me that nothing changes in that way, you know, or at least it shouldn't. It should always just be, you're just making things, and it's never any more serious than that. You're just making things.
And then it seems that things start to happen, because, I mean, you said that rather than making an album, the album forms the artist. So what did mm-hmm. this album do to you?
Each record has transformed me completely. I'm a completely different person to what I was when I started making this. They teach you all kinds of things. It's a strange sort of call and response, I guess. You write these songs and I have no idea what they mean when I write them, and they're just there, and then, you know, you carry on and you plow through them, and there's a whole bunch of crap that you've written, and it takes you years to, you know, work through all this stuff and work out what is of any worth, and you still don't know what it means. You know, I work in the dark for years on these things, and then at the end of it, you've been taken through this whole world. I had no idea where I was going with this, and I've just been led by them. And now I don't know what I would have been without it. It's led me to the other side of the planet, and I won't be the same again.